welcome everyone back here this week. So excited that we're going to continue on this journey that we're on, this series, Grace Under Fire. Throughout our series, we've talked about the different ways God's grace functions in our lives. Oftentimes, this grace is felt in the midst of a fire and how we're being formed and refined in that fire. We all go through seasons of our life when things aren't always going as we plan. And oftentimes when we're going through those challenging times, we feel weak. Sometimes it's a physical weakness. Sometimes it's an emotional or mental weakness, and even a spiritual weakness. Either way, God says that his strength is made perfect in human weakness. His grace is always sufficient in any and every season or situation that we may find ourselves in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, it is your grace, your wonderful grace that has allowed us to be here this morning serving you. As my brother Dwayne said early, it was your grace through all the things that we've been through. You said you said I love you anyway in spite of those things, and how you said that you wanted a relationship with us. And your grace is always abounding. Father, I do pray that you would guide us this word this morning, and that you would give me strength to share what you would have me share. In your name I pray. Amen. So, just I gave a homework assignment last week, and only two people came to me with the correct answer. Maybe some of you just didn't reach out to me, and that's okay too, all right? But the answer to the name that Joseph was given by Pharaoh is found in Genesis 41, 45, and the Pharaoh named him Zephaniah Pania. So that's the name that Joseph was given by Pharaoh, all right? So just want to share that with you. Wanted to give you the answer to the homework assignment for those of you who did that, all right? I would venture to say that each of us have been through a period in your life that, and I know that I have, where Father has you in a fire, so to speak, and is refining you. And he's working through you, developing your faith in that God's grace will always sustain you, all right? Sometimes it hurts a little bit in that refining process. But he doesn't want a weak Christian. He doesn't want weak Christians. He wants a strong man and woman of God to represent. Today we're going to dive into the section of Paul's story where we see the same kind of refining that takes place. I know that thinking about Paul, you probably know about Paul's writing and how he was instrumental in sharing the word of God through all the different towns that he went to, whether it was Galatia or Corinth. All you have to do is go to the New Testament, and all those towns are located right there. So all those places that he went, spreading the gospel, he was so instrumental. But he didn't start off like that. You find his story in Acts 9, where Saul, he was walking on that road to Damascus. I know that's pretty familiar to some, but Saul, he's walking this road of Damascus, and while he's on that road, Jesus comes to him and speaks to him in a very clear voice, and he says to Saul, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul comes back saying, who are you, Lord? I mean, he's smart enough to recognize it was somebody with a little bit of higher power, right? So he goes, who are you, Lord? And Jesus says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And so he loses his eyesight, and then, you know, he gets told, hey, you're going to go into town, and you're going to go to the house of Judah, and you're going to see this guy named Ananias, and he's going to pray over you, and your sight will be restored. And the Heavenly Father speaks to Ananias, and he says, hey, Saul is coming to you, and he knows that you're on Straight Street. That always amazed me, a street that's named Straight Street. I don't know why that, anyway. So he goes, you'll find him on Straight Street. And Ananias says, oh, no, don't send Saul over here. Do you not know about Saul? He doesn't like Christians. And he's spoken to him, and he says this to him, to Ananias. He says to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. Although Paul had a miraculous and powerful testimony, he had a real problem at one point. In fact, that he was persecuting Christians. We know that he was right there in Acts 8, where he was there when he approved the stoning of Stephen. Paul's life journey highlights how truly amazing God's grace is. And I know that my brother Dwayne said, he goes, you know, all the things I went through, the sins I did, but Paul, he killed Christians. I mean, sin is sin, but it almost kind of belittles the things I did, right? I never killed anybody like that just because you're a Christian. But Father used Saul to be an instrument of his, the most influential man in the New Testament by far. Today we're going to jump into 2 Corinthians, where we pick up Paul's story as he shares about the thorn in his flesh. So you can follow along with me or up on the screen as I read 2 Corinthians, as we look at 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10. It says, I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or not of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Excuse me. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. Verse 5, on behalf of this man I will boast, but on my own half I will not boast, except of my weakness. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited, I, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given me in the flesh. Excuse me, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. No one really knows exactly what that thorn is that Paul keeps on referring to. Theologians have tried to come up with something. What What was the thorn? Where was it at? Just like they're trying to figure out, what was it that Jesus wrote in the dirt, right? You know, they're trying to figure out what he wrote. What was it the sign that was put on Cain that was written on him so nobody would touch him, right? And so there's theologians, they're working feverishly trying to figure that stuff out. I'm not. But the bottom line is, we don't know what that thorn is. Paul keeps referring to it, however. However, his posture through the fire is one we can still learn from today. You see, when we understand God's grace and we understand that it sustains us each and every day, there are three specific responses I believe are important to talk about, share about this morning. The first of all is we deepen our prayer life, all right? Did you notice Paul says right before the climactic moment of this passage in verse 8, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Church, when was the last time you wanted something so badly that you begged for it? When was the last time you went back to the Lord to pray over and over again asking for help? When Nora and I were in Florida, we stopped by this souvenir store, pick up a couple things, and while we were shopping there, there's this family there, and a family of four, and two little boys, and they're both going, one kid was saying, "Can I have this? Can I have this? Can I have this?" And then mom's like, no. And so then the other little kid, you know, the younger one, like, "Can I have this? Can I have this?" And so, mom said no. And then they pick up another thing. "Can I have this? Can I have this?" And then the older one, the dad's like, no. And then the little kid says, "Can I have this?" You could hear them throughout the whole store. They're begging for the toy. And when they couldn't get that one, then they went to another toy to justify why they wanted that toy. "This is something I've always wanted." And then the older kid, he finally gave up. But the little one, he was relentless, like, I really want this. I really want this. And his dad's like, "Come on, son, let's go." And he's like, and the kid, it's like he didn't even hear him because he wasn't even looking at him. He's like, I really want this. He was begging for that toy. And finally, dad had to come over and, you know, he just picked him up and said, "Come on, son, let's go." Yes. That's enough. I don't know that whether you did that as a kid. Most kids, they do that when they're young, right? They beg for something that they really need. Sometimes we want something that somebody else has because we're jealous of it. We want it. We see somebody else, "Oh, I want that too." When we look at that, wanting something else, begging for something else, the picture helps us understand the earnestness of Paul's prayer, saying, "I want," he asked three times, "Father, please remove this thorn from my flesh." He cries out to the Lord three different times, and it's not removed. And so why didn't God remove the thorn from him? Well, we can assume whatever it was painful and or limiting him in some way. Because Paul mentions this thorn in his flesh. And chances are this was a physical thing, I have to assume. Or maybe it was an emotional thing or a mental thing. But regardless, the scenario is that the experience that he was feeling is some type of pain we've asked God to relieve from us too. "Father, could you just please take this away from me?" All that to say, my question for us today is, are we begging God for the right things? What are you begging him for? There's a verse that's frequently misunderstood that we find in the New Testament. We find in in John the 14th chapter, and it says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If we had a surface level of understanding this verse, we would be really confused as to why God didn't merely just take the thorn away from Paul as he cried out. Just remove it. But Paul was a man of faith, so we can assume he prayed to Jesus in his name, because oftentimes we say, Father, can you just give it to me in your name, and thinking that's going to one up something, right? In your name, can we have this? But Paul prayed this, and I would argue is a slight misunderstanding of this verse. Instead, I believe Jesus is helping us see that asking something to be done in his name is doing so according to his will and his plan. In Paul's case, God seemed to have a higher purpose behind the pain Paul was facing. And so even though Paul was doing it right, God's plan and purpose was so much bigger than that. So in our stories here today, God uses our pain for purposes that, frankly, we don't often understand. Have you ever been in that? You're like, why am I going through this? Why am I going through this pain and agony? I know my mom, and I've shared this before, my mom, arthritis riddled in through her body in so much pain, osteoporosis. She couldn't feed herself, nor she did the brunt of the work taking care of my mom for the last 6 years of her life, riddled with pain. I'm like, Mom, praying for her just to remove that pain. And yet every Sunday we found her in the front row in her wheelchair. She goes, I'm here for a reason. Regardless of the pain I'm in, I'm going to come here and worship my God. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Clearly, God has a purpose behind Paul's pain. His grace is sufficient and sustaining for Paul throughout his pain, which means Paul had to learn the same thing we must learn too, that our Heavenly Father is going to sustain us through whatever we may be going through, and that he has a plan for us. He has a plan for you. Secondly, we learn to be weak, or we learn through our weakness. That's what the next slide is. Thank you. We learn to be weak. We learn in our weaknesses. This is probably sounds a bit backwards to most of us, and it's understandable. But in order to allow God's grace to truly sustain us, we must learn to identify and accept our weaknesses, or as Paul says, to boast about them. It isn't a shameful thing to recognize that our areas of weakness. In fact, many of us would agree that it's a strength to know where you're weak at. I know what I need to improve upon. I don't know how many times I've had to fill out recommendations for people, like, hey, Pastor JR, I'm going for this job. Hey, can you, say some nice things about me? And I'm like, how nice do I got to be? Because some of this is going to cost you, all right? And then there's some I just couldn't. I'm like, and they didn't get the job. I'm like, I gave it to them. I'm like, this is what I'm going to say. But in there it says, usually it says, What is that individual's weakness? And the purpose of understanding what your weakness is so you know where you need to grow. You might be strong in this area, but you're weak in this area. And that's what you need to work on. Spiritually speaking, our weak areas can humble us. There's nothing, I tell you what, I learned this. There's nothing more humbling than, you know, like you think, you know, you're a pastor, and you know, I learned this probably about the third time I walked into the Fairbanks Rescue Mission. I walked in there, and it's full of folks, and this there's people in there, there's guys in there that know the Bible better than a lot of pastors do. I'm not joking, and they will humble you right quick. No, that's you're saying that wrong, Pastor. That's not the way the verse goes. There's some strong people that will humble you. Paul recognizes this, and we should too. If we didn't have any weakness, we would be perfect. And I don't see anybody perfect in here. There's some good folks in here, but no one's perfect. We must understand our weakness so we can grow spiritually. And here's the good news. God's power is strong enough to not only meet us in our weakness, but also use us in spite of them. Exodus 4:10. But Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Moses, this man of faith who accomplished incredible things for God, confessed his many weaknesses. I'm not eloquent with speech. Now, why don't you let my brother come along with me? I know that guy was a little bit perturbed with him. He's like, okay, don't you understand? I've got your back. I'm going to do a lot of things. I just, you know, the snake and, you know, the leprosy. I pulled my hand out, you know. Do you not think I can help you even though you have a speech thing? But if it's to get you on your way, okay, you can have your brother come along too. And so I say to anyone here, and including myself, that God can work with a lot of, he can work with you. He can say, yep, he hasn't been to seminary, but you know what? That man loves the Lord. I can't spell Leviticus backwards, but I know where his heart is at. And that's the same thing for each and every one of you. He's saying, hey, in spite of your weaknesses, I, the Lord of Lords, Kings of Kings, I can work with you. Thirdly, we find true strength. True strength. God's grace sustains us even in our weaknesses, so we find where true strength comes from. This seems to be the climax here in our verse this morning, 2 Corinthians passage, when Paul writes the words of Jesus. When he's speaking about God's power, he says, My grace is all you need. My power works best in your weakness. What an unbelievable promise that is. That my grace, even in your weakness, I can work it. If we have God's grace, we truly have all we need. That's all we need is his grace. The greatest picture of this grace can be seen on the cross, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All those years, Jesus traveled around from here and there, witnessing, ministering, healing people, only to be beaten and to be spit upon, to to be humiliated, to be abandoned by his own people, and eventually killed. All by the hands of the people that he came to save. He said, I came here for you. I came here for you. And this is how you're going to treat me? You know what? I'm going to love on you anyway. Because I'm the only way you can have eternal life. I'm the only thing that is without blemish. It was a grace that Jesus gave himself by the redemption of mankind. It was grace that sustained him when the journey became difficult and often impossible. Because Paul also experienced God's strength amid his own weakness, he is able to boast all the more in the weakness instead of his strength. See, church, our strength is failing. In fact, it's spiritual dangerous when we feel like we are of our own strength, like, oh, we can do this by ourselves. Oh, and to me, the pantry is a perfect example. To think that we could do that all on our own. To think that every Wednesday, after all the customers leave, all the clients leave, that the shelves are bare. The only thing left is the can of Who Hash. And he says, don't worry about it, JR. Next week, it'll be filled up again. You got to have that kind of faith, knowing that he can do it, not us. Because if you think we can do it all, he's going to go, okay, go ahead. If you're all that, go ahead and do it by yourself. If you don't need me, I'll gladly step away. Do it yourself and watch how quickly that endeavor that you thought you could do by yourself will plummet. I think that all of us have faced times of temptation and sin, and it doesn't matter who you are. This last week, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how high on the ladder you climb to be, and how successful you are as a leader. And you're like, oh, that guy, they would never do anything wrong. But because they didn't stay close and weren't connected, they failed. You'd never think that somebody else that maybe you put on a ladder would ever, on a pedestal, would cheat on their wife or something like that. I'm like, come on, look, you've been in ministry all your life and been at the pinnacle of your career, you're going to do something like that? So don't think just because you're young in the faith that temptation only affects you. It affects everybody. Hear me when I say you and I are left to ourselves and not strong enough to accomplish anything noteworthy for the kingdom of God. You can't do it by yourself. You can't. You can't. John 15:5 says, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. And this is the part that I want you to listen, glean from it. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. This kind of mindset, I believe, helps us preserve, persevere through the pain of our lives. Paul takes it a step further and even says he takes pleasure in insults and hardships, persecution, in the name of Christ. The thing is, are you willing to make the decision as well? And maybe the persecution we face isn't like that. Maybe it's not like like Pastor Pascal, who was leading a prayer meeting in August the 5th of last year, and when some Islamists came and attacked 35 Christians in a room much like this setting here, 35, and all of a sudden they're attacked. They set it on fire. That's some serious persecution. Or in Nigeria, where a pastor was taken out, they just drug him out and set him on fire in front of his congregation. They said, there'll be no more church here. I think we got it kind of easy here in the United States. We shouldn't get our tail feathers ruffled when somebody calls us like, oh, you're such a Bible beater. You know? Come on. There's people across the way who are losing their lives. For most of us, getting upset with someone who simply won't believe the same things we believe, we can show them the same kind of grace that has been lavished upon us because we understand this. When we are weak, we are strong. So let me close. Maybe the comment made by Jesus to Paul is the very thing you and I need to recite to ourselves on a daily basis. We need to say this, my grace is all I need. All I need is His grace. Every day say, Your grace. If I have Your grace, I know that I can make it today. Not only say it, but believing it. Isn't it true that so many of us here today are striving more and more? Deep down, we truly believe if I could just do better, then God would love me more. And if you're of that mindset, you're wrong. First of all, we can't outdo God because He's given us the most perfect gift we could ever imagine in His Son, Jesus Christ. And He's saying, hey, you as a Sunday school teacher, you as a youth leader, you as a pastor of a small congregation, I enjoy that. You don't have to do anything more than that. You don't have to do any more than just minister to your kids. And He says, I like that. You don't have to do anything more than that. We need to always remember that His grace is sufficient enough. Father God, this morning, thank You for Your living Word and how it changes lives, how it gives us the direction that we need daily. And Father, I just want to pray for those who are saying, hey, You don't know me, JR, and all that I've done, and I don't think God would forgive me. I've just been out there in the street, I've done this, I've done that. And we look at this story of Paul where he was persecuting Christians and he became the most, I will say, influential person in the New Testament in sharing the Word of God. So if God can use Paul, He can certainly use you. So Father, for those who don't know You today, I pray that they would come to know You today, that they do. Seek You out. In Your name I pray. Amen.